Lee.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Can you hear us good?
Yeah. Can you hear me good? I'm on my headphones. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. That's good. We do it with headphones, so I can hear you good as long as you can hear us good.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll introduce myself. Yeah, I'm the one that's been messaging you on Instagram. My name's Joseph Owen.
Okay.
And here on the podcast, I go by The Bull, you know, and my co-host here, I'll let him introduce himself.
My name is Manuel Roman, and I go by The Cap. Nice to meet you, man.
Hey, nice to meet you guys. Thank you for letting me, you know, kind of partake in this.
Oh, no problem, man.
No, thank you
yeah,
for coming
course,
on. Man.
Yeah, of course. I'm always open to any kind of, you know, conversation.
Yeah. Well, you know, this season that we're doing for our podcast is season 3, and I really wanted to, like, you know, just kind of mainline it for, you know, all powerlifting and stuff like that. And, you know, so you were popping up in my feed a lot and stuff like that, and I just thought, you know what, I'll ask him and see if he wants to come on, and you know, because you, just from your feed and everything, you seemed like a really interesting guy, and I just wanted to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I try to be as interesting as I can. And
yeah,
you know, for me, it's fitness has always been, or fitness, working out, powerlifting has always been, like, it's my life. You know, that's pretty much, that's all I do to a certain point.
Yeah. Hey, you know, once you get, you know, that, you know, bitten by that bug, you know, you can't stop. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was the biggest thing that drew me in was, when, you know, I first started working out, at least now it's been 10, 11 years and I haven't stopped. I mean, it's definitely been a life-changing effect. And I always try to preach it as much as I can in terms of, like, health, longevity, just overall better, like, mental function. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. So that's why I always try to, you know, preach the word of, like, of fitness.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take, but just go to the gym or do some push-ups at the house.
Yeah, definitely. Just any kind of thing, just kind of get you, you know, your blood pumping and your heart going and everything. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I tell everybody, I mean, my dad's 61 and I'm like, Dad, just anything is better than nothing. Just do push-ups, push-ups, setups, something.
Well, If you want, we got a couple of speed round questions, just kind of, you know, get kind of everything going and stuff, and then we'll go right into kind of our interview. So
yeah, of course.
I have 3, and my co-host Manuel has a couple. I'll do mine, and then I'll let him do his.
Awesome, sounds good to me.
All right. So the first one is your favorite lift.
Oh, deadlift.
Deadlifts.
Yeah.
And that is, oh, that, yeah. Is that because, you know, it just came to you so much easier, or
yeah, I mean, for me, I'm tall, I got long legs, long arms. I don't mind squatting, it's getting back up there. I can't stand bench. But no, for deadlift, I've always been like, that's been my lift. And even when I used to lift in Gold's Gym, it was like, you know, who do I ask for form? People would say, and it's like, oh, go to Andrew.
Yeah. So you got a pretty good eye for, like, someone like that maybe has a hard time with, like, kind of keeping their back straight in a deadlift or something like that, or pushing their knees too far out.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a lot of it's, you know, whether it's bench, squat, deadlift, everything is so technical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see enough of what somebody's doing wrong, then you can kind of recognize how to fix it, how to correct it. Of course, everybody is different in how their body mechanics work, but, you know, a little tip is better than no tip.
That's what she said. So. Nah, I couldn't miss that opportunity.
I know. gotta be Michael Scott. I understand. Trust me.
But, all right, so my next one is guilty pleasure, whether it's like a TV show or a movie or an artist or a song or something, like something that you know, that you like, you know, but maybe kind of not feel bad, but you just don't like admitting you like, I guess.
Does food count?
Oh, yeah, food definitely.
Oh, donuts, man. I mean, donuts and junk food all over. Like, I know I'm not supposed to have them, but, man, I will destroy a dozen of donuts. or ice cream. I mean, snacks, sweets, it's terrible for me because stuff, some of that stuff just doesn't sit right with my Crohn's, but man, I can't help it.
Hey, I can't blame you there, dude. And you know, they make those things to be, you know, highly palatable and stuff. So that's why, like, that's my biggest issue is, like, as soon as I take a bite, it's just, it's over from there. I want to eat the whole fucking thing or something. You know?
I know, man. It's like every time I've had a meal and it's like, man, I should really have a donut. I want something sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I just can't. And I usually stay in, but.
All right. Now, with that being said, what kind of donut?
What's your location? Are you familiar with, like, Duck Donuts?
Dude, I was gonna ask if you knew of Duck Donuts because we're from North Carolina, and I know you're on the same coast. I don't know exactly where you are, but I know you're on the same coast as us.
Virginia, like 30 minutes from DC.
Okay, so. And but yeah, I was gonna ask if you knew of Duck Donuts We, me and my wife found it at the Outer Banks, and then we found out where was that other one, Manuel? There's one close by. Was it Statesville or something?
I think it might be Statesville. Yeah.
Yeah. They, so, yeah.
They're good. They got that's like a 1, 2, 3. They got like 3 in a matter of like 20 minutes around here.
Oh man,
that's like our like Dunkin' Donuts. Here.
Yeah. So no, definitely Duck Donuts, like the Oreo one.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like just basic chocolate with like rainbow sprinkles.
There you go.
Now, have you had Krispy Kreme?
Yes, I have.
And now, which one would be better if you had to choose one?
Probably still Duck Donuts.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the cakey.
You know, and that's the thing is they fry it like Krispy Kreme. But it's still like a cake batter fried. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's not like it's a fried piece of dough or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's still cakey, but definitely Duck Donuts for me.
Yeah, all right, so for my third and last one is favorite superhero. If you're into superheroes.
Oh man, that's a tough one. Honestly. Oh man, I got to go with like the generic Captain America.
Oh yeah.
You know, Captain Vascularity and Captain America, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Captain Mexico.
That's where the Cap got his nickname from. He likes Captain Mexico.
Because like there's no Captain Mexico, and like so like I got that name in like middle school when I had an Xbox 360. So I just stuck with that. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Call me Captain Mexico.
Captain Mexico, man. Hey, it works. Whatever suits you.
Yeah. All right. And that wraps up mine. So go ahead on yours, Manuel. All
right. Well, so my first one is your go-to song, whether, you're trying to get pumped up, you're about to lift heavy, or you're on the road, like your go-to song. Like that's the first one you go to.
Are you guys into metal?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Suicide Silence is going to be my go-to band.
Nice. I can dig that.
Pretty much any of their pre, when Mitch Loker, I forget his last name, whatever he recorded, any of those songs are my go-to for heavy lifting, pre-max lift.
Hell yeah. I like that. I like Suicide Silence. They're good shit, man.
Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, I haven't heard much of their newer stuff. Like I said, I've been mostly stuck with, I mostly stick with the old school, just because that really gets me amped up.
Yeah, I hear you. All
right. So my second question, so this is like your final meal before you die. What would it be? And it can be whatever, whatever you want.
Oh, anything?
Anything.
Oh, man. Honestly, it's going to have to be my grandfather's raviolis. Legit the best. He passed away in 2015, but man, he was Italian. And some of the best raviolis, homemade Italian sauce, homemade meatballs, just nothing can beat it.
Man, so
definitely that. If I could have any last meal.
I'm sorry it passed away, but that does sound delicious, man.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, man. And it's sad because every time I go to like an Italian restaurant, I'm like, this is nothing.
Yeah.
this is trash.
This is trash.
This belongs in the trash.
For real. And it's sad, though, because whenever I had like his homemade sauce and homemade like pasta, you can tell the difference. And it's like a huge difference of like frozen or pre-made to like handmade. And it's just, it's like, I'm always like, ah, this is homemade and out of the can.
Well, I bet that was like an all-day process though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, it was a huge process for him. I mean, I remember going up there and he would be cooking at 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, just prepping. And then he'd have it done by, you know, one or two, just for the sauce to simmer. And he would still be working on everything else.
Oh, man. A lot of patience, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely. And it was always funny. It's like, Grandpa, how much you added of this or of that? And he's like, I don't know. I just kind of throw it in there. I'm Italian. Just, you know, go by sight.
Yeah.
I measure with my eyes.
Yeah. Just a little bit of this.
Yeah. A little bit of that.
All right. So for my last question, do you believe in Bigfoot or like any like paranormal, like aliens?
Oh yeah, dude.
Oh hell yeah.
Yes, dude. I'm
confused. Wait, do you believe in Bigfoot?
I do believe in Bigfoot.
Let's go.
There's so much shit out there that's, it's not even funny, man. I'm telling you, dude. There's legit stuff that's like crazy. And I remember my dad and I were going up to.
You got an encounter story?
Yeah, it was something.
Oh, dude, shit!
It was something really fucking weird, man. We were going up to Breeze. This was a long, long time ago. We were going up to Breezewood, Pennsylvania, to buy fireworks, and we're driving down. It was a straightaway, and it was a clear night, and the stars were out, so you could clearly see the stars. So we're driving along, and next thing you know, it's like a inverted L. So the bigger half is vertical, and then the little part is kind of like at an angle pointing northeast, right? And next thing you know, it fucking dips off to the right, like super fast. It just gone. It's gone. It like lights up and gone. It's gone. And my dad and I both turned to each other and we're like, what the fuck was that?
Oh my God.
And we were like, no idea. Legit the fucking creepiest, most odd thing I've ever experienced.
And that was the only time this happened?
Yeah, for that.
How old were you?
Oh God, like, I don't know, 12, 13 years old.
That's good enough for me.
But I'm telling you, there's definitely stuff out there.
Now, what about like aliens? Do you believe we're the only ones?
No, there's stuff out there. There's, I mean, yeah, I'm not as much of a conspiracy theorist as my brother, but dude, he'll ramble on about random shit.
Are you and your brother going to raid Area 51?
No, I don't feel like getting shot.
Good answer.
We gotta clap some alien booty cheeks.
Oh man!
Oh my God!
Awesome. But you know, it's good that I finally found someone that at least he even had an encounter.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it makes it even better.
Yeah, that's man. Crazy. I'm telling you, you can't deny something's out there. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, you got to have like an open mind to everything. So can't be so closed-minded. And that's what everybody nowadays is like. Oh, nothing exists, and you know,
if we ain't seen it by now, it ain't real, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean. I don't know. Everybody has their own opinion, so that's them.
Yeah. Well, that's your last speed round, right?
Yeah, that was my last.
Okay. Well, if you want, we'll go right into the interview, and you already kind of touched on it, talking about yourself a little bit, but just real quick, you know, for the listener, just give us, you know, kind of a rundown of yourself, who you are, and what do you do. So,
my name is Andrew. Currently, right now, I'm doing an apprenticeship for an electrician, or to become an electrician. Mm-hmm. So I got hooked up with that a couple months back. I had some oddball jobs here and there, sales, private security. Nothing real, in my mind, nothing real stable.
Yeah.
I needed something stable and like long term. So my buddy hooked me up with a commercial electrician. And I love it. You know, it's something that's, you know, keeps your mind active. You're always doing something. I'm not sitting around, you know, looking for something to do. It's, you know, once you've done the project, I can continue to do something else. So I'm definitely thankful for that. But I still try to keep myself busy with, you know, side stuff, working on real estate license. I want to eventually get my certified personal trainer. Just a little, you know, side hustles going on as much as I can.
I hear you. That's cool. Speaking of certified personal training, what course would you do? I know there's the NASM and the ISSA and stuff, or
probably either NASM or ACE.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do the, I think the National Council of Fitness and Strength, NCFS, I think it is. That would be pretty cool to get that one.
I hear you. I know my coach has the ISSA one, and
okay.
I think that one was, he was telling me it was written or co-written or something, like the whole program or whatever, by the Jailhouse Strong guy, you know, Josh Bryant.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I was like, it's not as nationally recognized as the NASM or the ACE, but, you know, still a good program.
What is it? ISSA?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's ISSA, and I'm pretty sure it's just got one A. So, okay. But I can double check and send it to you.
I'll have to look in that.
Yeah. But that's what he did for like his, you know, first CPT course, and he really enjoyed it, and he went through it pretty quick. I think, you know, as far as personal training courses, it was all about the same. But, you know, I think it was more expensive though. So
yeah, some of them. I mean, even NASM is super expensive.
Yeah, it's some pretty of the
programs
insane.
They offer.
Yeah,
$1,200 for just the almost like the basic generic with a couple other books added in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn, I don't want to pay that much.
No, it's pretty insane. But I mean, in the long run, you know, it's good. I mean, if you really want to take that step into, you know, a career, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, in reality, you can get as many as you can or as many as you want, which is great. You know, get a lower end one to get your foot in the door, and then start getting the bigger, more recognized companies.
Yeah, once you build up a clientele and stuff.
Yeah, or even whoever you're working for. If you work for like a commercial gym, just have them pay for it.
Oh, true. All right, well, you know, so that's a little bit about yourself. So now, you know, you said you've been lifting for how many years? 12 to about 12 years?
Yeah, probably about 10, 11 years.
So what kind of got you into lifting?
Honestly, it was, for me, it was my biggest thing was my health.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it got to the point to where it was just, I wasn't doing anything. You know, I was like 16, 17 years old. I pretty much throughout my whole childhood or growing up, I was sick. I don't remember much of childhood here and there, only, you know, bits and pieces of growing up and of being sick. But I was diagnosed in 99 when I was 8. And after that, it pretty much just went even more downhill. You know, I tried school. I ended up getting sick. I tried like sixth grade, got sick. I tried freshman year, got sick. So I just stuck with, you know, being homeschooled. But even homeschooled, it was like an online program. So, you know, my mom and dad both work full time.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just like, you know, F this. I don't want to fucking study. I don't need this.
Yeah.
So, for me, I was so sick at that point. It was just like, what's the point of studying if I'm not going to, like, you know, make it past 20 or 25 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I did. I was just play video games, sleep all day, stay up all night, you know, do nothing. And it just got to the point to where, you know, I hit a real down note of being real negative of, you know, what's the point, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to be sick all time. You know, I won't amount to anything. I'm always going to be sick. You know, I had doctors tell me that I'd have, I'd be on a cane by 25. I would never be able to go outside. I'd never be able to go in public because of my immune system is so obsolete. And it just, you know, it just as a, as a fucking 9-year-old, 10-year-old hearing that, you're like, fuck, dude, what's the point of life?
Yeah, that's pretty heavy, you know?
You know, like no school, no friends. Dude, it wasn't fun, you know? So that's like the, I always tell people, like, they're always like, oh, you were homeschooled. I bet that was awesome. I'm like, no, it fucking wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't do shit. I played video games and slept all day. And it's just, it finally reached a point where if I didn't start to do something like, work out or have a goal in mind, then I wouldn't have been here. I was ready. I was at that point. And it just, I started to look into it, like reading, you know, going to Barnes and Nobles when they're around and buying some books. And I just started working out. And we had a little bench in the basement with some weights, a crappy fucking bar and some plates.
Yeah.
And dude, all I was doing, I remember because I didn't do much. I was doing arms and like chest all the time, bench and curls.
Yeah. The classic, classic bro split.
Yeah. Man. I think that's why my arms are so big. Probably that's fucking all I did, but I got it. And I got the fix because it was great. I loved it, you know, cause it was for me, it was so fascinating on, you know, what the body can do and like how you can, you know, how you can really feel your muscles work. Even now, I still get fascinated by it, you know, like what my body is capable of compared to where it was, you know, like my body is not, and I can tell you, my body is not meant to be this heavy, you know, like this much weight with my bone structure.
Yeah.
Like when I got a bone density test, they told me I had like arthritis in my knees. I had no spaces in my lower back, arthritis in my hands. I was prone to osteoporosis and osteopenia, and it's not for me. It's not, I mean, I feel it now. It hurts every fucking day, every time I lift my arthritis, but it's just, I'm not going to stop, you know, I can't stop, you know, for me, it's put me where I'm at in my life and my confidence and who I am now, you know, it's defined me. So I can't quit. And that's why I preach it to everybody. Like, if I can do it where I was, then anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. Everybody has hardships. Everybody's, you know, has a down moment in life, and you can't give up because, you know, you're not completely down. You know, there's always a high point. It's just like a roller coaster. You know, you're always going to be going up and down no matter what. No matter how good you have it going, there's always a dip. So, I mean, I remember I played a small bit of baseball and I had a baseball card, you know, like your little headshot and everything. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back of it, it had my stats and I was 9 years old and I was 40 pounds.
Oh my Lord.
Dang.
9 years old and I was 40 fucking pounds. Half the people, I curl that now.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like, it's amazing. Like I think back and I was just so sickly and so just underweight. Like I remember my mom telling me that every time we went into a hospital, the doctors like carried me in like I was some fragile piece of glass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, you don't want that. Nobody wants that for their life or for their kids or for their family. You know, you don't want to be in a down moment. And everybody's going to have them, but you really just have to tell yourself that you're capable of anything you set your mind to, you know, and I've come a long way with my health and my lifting just from, you know, telling myself I need to do this or I'm not going to make it kind of thing. So you got to have a positive mindset no matter what, as hard as it is, you know, because everybody has ailments, everybody has issues. It's life sucks sometimes, but you just can't quit.
Man, that's inspiring. I'm gonna hit the gym after this podcast.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. That's why it's like I'm always telling everybody to just stick with it. You know, people get discouraged when they first start off.
Yeah.
And because they hit a plateau. And I've been there. I've hit plateaus. You know, you're always going to hit a plateau because your muscle is just going to recognize you doing the same shit every single day. And if you don't mix it up, if you don't introduce new weights or new exercises, it's going to recognize it and it's going to never adapt.
Yeah.
So it's all about changing it up.
Before we, you know, dig a little more into lifting or anything else, when you say you were sick, was that because of the Crohn's or was that a Crohn's like a side effect or?
No, it was the Crohn's. So the Crohn's is an autoimmune disorder. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just a lot of this, that, and everything. You know, I had no immunity. I couldn't keep food down. So every time I ate, I would end up throwing up and passing out. It causes, you know, no energy. You have very low fatigue. You have very little to no appetite. I was on numerous diets of like no red meat, no wheat, no dairy. You know, I still have to stray away from that because I'll suffer. Like, I love my fucking ice cream, but dude, I'll suffer. I can't help that, man. I love some Cold Stone or you know, Ben and Jerry's, but for me, it was a lot of issues when I was younger and when I was growing up because it was such trial and error on what medicine worked, what didn't, and the key to Crohn's is to keep it in remission and to keep the inflammation down. So my case wasn't as bad as some people have it. You know, some people have to get their colons out, like part of their colon's removed because the inflammation is so bad and the ulcers are so bad that it's just it's too far gone that medicine is going to help it. So for me, I got lucky, thank God, but it wasn't a childhood that I enjoyed. Being sick constantly and, you know, trying new medicines and in and out of hospitals, in and out of doctors. So it wasn't fun because that was the biggest issue for me was since an autoimmune disorder, you know, you have no immunity. Every time I tried to go to school, you know, all those little motherfuckers are sick. So I got sick every flu season. Every flu season I got sick. You know, I tried because that's all I wanted to do was go to school, have a social life and have a life. But it didn't work. So it was like, it just got to the point where it was like, all right, it's not worth it. You know, but now it's a lot better than what it was, you know, Crohn's wise or immune wise, or immune system wise. You know, I've introduced, you know, being in the gym isn't the most non-germ friendly area, but
yeah,
I still tend to get through.
So, all right. So now, you know, got a little more on Crohn's because I know when I asked you, I started doing a little research on my own, but I just, you know, wanted to make sure, you know, that, you know, me and the listener was all on kind of the same page about, you know, you being sick and stuff when you were younger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I understand.
And so, you know, you started, you know, training and stuff in your basement, you know, and what was kind of the turning point in your lifting? When did you kind of get to that next level, I guess, and start powerlifting and stuff?
When I joined Gold's Gym. So there was a local Gold's Gym and I started to like outgrow what equipment I had. And I ended up getting my first real job at a golf course at like, it was literally my first job actually at like 18 years old, 17 years old. And it was at a golf course and I finally was like able to, you know, I had a car, I had my license and everything finally. And I branched out, I found the Gold's Gym and I just started working out there and there's just a lot more equipment, a lot more, you know, more everything. And I got hooked up with my old powerlifting coach and, you know, I dabbled in like the classic physique and the bodybuilding, you know, I did first, it wasn't always powerlifting firsthand. It was, you know, I did a bodybuilding show just off the whim of things, you know, because the owner there was a bodybuilder and he, you know, I was like, hey, I want to do this show. He's like, all right. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I had no fucking idea what I was doing.
To diet. I saw that in your post or story.
Yeah. It was so fun, though, just to do it, though. But I had no idea how to diet, how to train to a certain point for it, you know, anything. I was eating, I don't even know what I was eating back then. It just wasn't right. I know that much compared to what I've done now and, you know, how I do it. And because it's such a science. And if you don't get it right, then you'll end up looking like flat and you'll, you know, your muscle bellies won't be full. Or you'll lose too much muscle. So,
yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of bodybuilders that used to go to my gym and, you know, and even my coach, you know, he knows about it. And they talk about the graininess and you know, how you dehydrate, you know, beforehand so you get the veins and stuff. And,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, for me, honestly, I think I got the luck of the vein gods for that because that's – I mean, legit, I think it was because I was on a – if you look, the prednisone, long-term prednisone use is linked to thinning of the skin. So, because when I was like 9 years old, right after I was diagnosed, I was on like a heavy dose for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So I think that really, I think that helped me out because everybody's like, man, what do you do for diet? I don't really eat sometimes. So,
damn, that's a secret, huh?
Man.
So, I did.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I did the bodybuilding and then the class or the physique. You know, I did like three or four shows of that, and then I went into powerlifting. I got hooked up with the old powerlifting coach who used to work there or work out there, and I started in like the 100% raw federation, doing that, and that was fun. And then I switched to equipped lifting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, but that was fun. Like my first equipped meet was going to be with USAPL. Mm-hmm. I remember this because this was 2012 and it was in Richmond, and everything was going to be PRs for me. You know, it's wearing a suit, but still I was stoked about it. It was like a 315 bench, 525 squat and 500 dead. And I was like 170. So I was like,
oh my God,
I was like nothing compared to what I am now.
About how old were you at that point?
22. So I was 20 or 2012. I was 21.
Okay.
So, and I loved it. I was all about it then, but I ended up getting sick about a week before the meet, and my stubborn ass didn't tell my coach, didn't really do anything to change my openers. And I remembered going up to do my squat. You know, I set up, squat down, couldn't get up.
Oh shit.
Come the second time around, same thing, squat, gonna get up. And I tell my coach, I'm like, I've been sick for like a week. And he's like, dude, you didn't tell me? I'm like, no, man, I just do it. So I ended up bombing out, and it was honestly a very heartbreaking experience for me personally, because that was my outlet, you know, like that atmosphere, like working out. You know, that's why I worked out. And I remember getting home and my dad, you know, came out and was like, how'd you do, or how'd it go? And I just straight like bawling, crying, dude. Cause it was emotional. I was like, that's all I wanted to do was like go there and just have fun and like lift some heavy ass weight. But
yeah,
I didn't. And it was, for me, I'm an emotional lifter, man. This is, for me, it's my sport, and that's all I do. So after that, I took like 2 years off and didn't do anything. And then I came back for a little bit with USPA and did a couple of meets 2 years later. And I think I took another hiatus. And then my first meet back was in, what year are we in? 2000, it was last year, actually. Mm-hmm. Last March. Yeah, last March, and then I did another one in July.
Okay, so how did you do in those?
I mean, for me, it was, if no one lifts, it, back then, or last year, it was equipped, so no one does hardly anybody does Equipped
yeah.
in USPA. So I got my little participation medal.
Yeah.
But I did better for me, you know, for my personal, I always try to do better than what I do last meet.
Mm-hmm.
So I did better. Like last year was last March meet was kind of like a refresher.
Okay.
And then I did okay personally at the national one, the drug testing national. And then I kind of thought to myself, you know what? I really want to see what my body can do. So I introduced dark side vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
So you obviously know what that is, correct?
Yeah.
So I wanted to see what my body can do and see where I'm at. And then I did a meet in this past April. And that was pretty good. That was better than the last one. And then for nationals in Ohio, I had all PRs for myself. It was a 518 squat, 352 bench, and 606 deadlift. So I was happy about that, you know, for me personally. You know, next meet will be even better than last. But it's always a process. You know, you can't get discouraged on you're not reaching the level you want to reach yet. You know, you have to just sit back and let the body work and, you know, put time into it. Because it is going to take time.
You said you got a 518 squat. I was wanting your numbers again on your last meet.
Yeah, 518 squat, 352 bench, and 606 deadlift.
Nice.
So that was up from – I know the meet in April was only a 507 squat, 330 bench, and 585 deadlift. So it went up 20 pounds almost in each lift. So I was happy about that.
Nice. So you got another one planned for in the future? You're just going to – I mean – yeah, I know you said on your Instagram that you're actually taking time off right now, so you probably don't have one planned out for the future, do you?
Well, I'm taking about 2-3 weeks to let the prednisone kick in, to let the inflammation to go down, try to put it back in remission. But I think I'm aiming for January. There's one in Charlestown, Virginia, or Charlotte, Virginia, one or the other. It's like the Piedmont Classic. Or USPA, that one, or the Frederick Open, or there's like two in the beginning of the year, three in the beginning of the year. The goal is to do another one in the beginning of the year and then go to nationals again next July in California. So
hell yeah, man. So what are you this last meet, what body weight were you at, what weight class?
I did 198. So I weighed in at 194. Because I've always done like the 181 class. Last year, the two meets, I was sitting at like 190 and I had to drop the like 10 pounds before weigh-ins. So for me, it wasn't worth the stress or the water weight, you know, the lost energy that you got to cut back on.
Yeah.
So I made that decision just to go up a weight class instead of sacrificing strength and size for, you know, a different weight class.
I hear you, man. Right now I'm trying to my first meet was last March, and I did –
Did you do the – which one did you do?
It was the Battle on the Border, so it's kind of like a North Carolina, South Carolina themed, you know, meet.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know that
and,
one.
And it's the USAP, right? I'm pretty sure. So you know, like Jen Thompson, right?
Yeah.
She's the one that hosts it, right? She organized and hosts it all at her the school that she actually teaches at.
Oh, awesome!
And that's where the episode I sent you, Nick Hammer. That's where I met, you know, Nick Hammer. He was my like my head judge on my platform. And, you know, and he, you know, that I met him through there and stuff. And, you know, he's super helpful, cool guy. And he, you know, he goes all around North Carolina. They're actually doing a bunch of meets in North Carolina. They're really trying to, you know, push it, you know, push it hard, make it more accessible for people in North Carolina to go. Cause you know, before, you know, now, like, you know, the only one they had was that Battle on the Border, which was either in Denver, North Carolina, which is like, you know, pretty close to South Carolina, or it was actually all the way in South Carolina, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they're doing a whole bunch more across the state. But anyway, I came in at 230 pounds. I did the, what is that, the 105 class. And, man, yeah. It's just, you know, nervous wreck. You know, only, you know, I was the only one, you know, like lifting with, you know, my people. I had my, you know, my wife and, my, you know, my family and stuff. But as far as experienced lifter and, you know, meat goer, you know, I was the only one. Like, I didn't have anybody kind of like to handle me, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the biggest stressor there, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, even like that first squat.
Oh, yeah.
Even
yeah.
Now, I get nervous as hell for that first squat because, like, once that's over, it's like, I can breathe.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that was the thing is, like, I, you know, I'm not making excuses because I'll be honest with you about how the day went. You know, I scratched all three of my squats. And so, you know, they still let me lift, but you know, nothing went on the board, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And, you know, and I don't care. I mean, it was all, I knew I wasn't breaking records or anything anyway. So, but you know, I took, you know, my pre-workout way too early and I went to the warm-up room like an hour or so too early. I was trying to like catch the other 105s, but you know, all of them, they weren't warming up yet, and I was like starting to warm up with the weight class in front of me.
Okay.
And you know, and then they were like, you know, I kept asking around. I was like, you know, hey, where's the other 105s? And everybody's like, I have no idea, you know, you're in the 105s, you know, because I'm a short guy. and I was like, yeah, and you know, and then it just, you know, I did the squats, the first two I did, you know, the squat, but I rushed the rack command, and so I scratched. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then the third attempt was just, I was so focused on like, I'm gonna stand this fucker up and just wait for them to rack it, that I didn't even get the damn thing up, you know. I hit the bottom and I just stayed there. I was like, oh,
nope,
shit.
Yeah. Not happening. I know. That's the biggest thing. It's like, for me, I always try to find someone that is in the weight class.
Mm-hmm.
And like through the, you know, the order, I just try to find him and see where he's at and try to follow somebody mm-hmm. that is in the same weight class.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way to do it, especially if you don't have anybody there to kind of handle you and tell you what to do and stuff. And
yeah, because it could be nerve-wracking, man. It really is. You know, you got to figure out, you got to time your, because it's a whole different atmosphere from, like, gym lifting to meat lifting. And if you're not, like mentally ready for that stress, dude, you'll crumble. And
yeah,
even now I still get anxiety out the ass. I just try to make as many friends as I can in that a short amount of time frame. So I'm like, hey, what are you doing next? Hey, what are you doing next? Hey, you go after me.
Yeah, you know, and same thing, man, when you know, I was you know, like trying to talk to everybody, and you know, and I was just surprised, like, you know, I'm not trying to like shit on nobody, you know, obviously, because, you know, there's some people that take it way too serious. And then there's some people that, you know, take it serious, like just enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And, you know, so like everybody in my weight class was like cool, you know, like everybody was cool with each other. Like everybody like rooted each other on. I remember there was this dude like who was actually in the weight class after me, but he was ginormous. I mean, he was, I was 6 foot something and just huge and stupid strong. And I remember for like my final deadlift warm-up, I pulled like four, you know, four or five or something like that. It was just four plates or whatever, you know. And and he just like cheered me on out of nowhere. He was like, hell yeah, that was good, you know. And I was but you know, and I was like, you know, you know, I'm not shit compared to you. And he's like, hey, man, it don't matter. He's like, we all here to lift, you know? And so he's cool as shit. So.
That's what I love about, like, the fucking powerlifting community, man. It doesn't matter what you lift, how big you are, how strong you are. You know, everybody is going to cheer you on in that back warm-up room or on the platform no matter what.
Yeah.
If you're lifting the same weight, heavier weight, lower weight, same weight class, not in the same weight class, male, female, all it is we're all just one big fucking family that wants to lift heavy weight.
Yeah. And just everybody trying to, you know, improve themselves and cheer everybody on, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's all about, you know, self-improvement. And best way for that I've found is working out, lifting heavy, you know, getting to know people. It's one big community, and, you know, we're all kind of fucked up, but that's what makes us special.
So who does your training now? Do you do your own programming or what?
Well, right now I don't, I'll have, since I'm taking a break, I'm, not really programming with anybody. So either I'll jump back on to programming with somebody or just program myself.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on how my body comes back and how I want to approach my training coming back. You know, as much as I want to like train the way I was training, I can't. You know, so I'm not going to be able to. So until I'm 100%, then I'll probably just be doing, you know, whenever I go in the gym, it will be just lightweight stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing serious as much as I want to.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really cool for you to kind of like take a step back and just kind of focus on yourself. And, you know, it might set you back, and, you know, if it does, I mean, hopefully you'll still just, you know, gain all your strength back and just, you know, keep getting stronger from there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I will, you know, I know, you know, the biggest thing is you have to recognize when to take a step back.
And
I don't want to make myself worse off than, you know, what I was or what I am now. You know, it's not worth it for my health, for my Crohn's, you know, to push my body even harder. Because then I could really, you know, I don't want to end up in the hospital. I don't want to end up injured. You know, you're training fatigue, then you're prone to injured or injury. You're prone to an injury. You know, and that's going to put, you know, that's not only going to put me out of working out, it's going to put me out of work, you know, and then I got no source of income. So
yeah,
I got to be, you know, you have to be smart about how you train. And if you don't train right, then you're going to destroy your body.
Yeah. I think so many people just want to keep pushing themselves through it because, like, you know, that's what social media will show you is like, just like keep pushing, you know, the grind. But, you know, I don't think people pay attention to themselves as much as like, cause everybody thinks that they have to go out there and prove something, you know, and like, you know, no one really, you know, you ain't got shit to prove to nobody. And like, you know, just focus on yourself and before you, you know, hurt yourself, you know? So.
Yeah, dude, that's what, it's crazy because, you know, think about it. If there was no Instagram, if there's no Facebook, if there's no nothing, nobody would be anything. Nobody would be who they are, or they would do the things what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
you'd be doing the old VHS.
I mean, of course, like, you'd still be powerlifting, you'd still be bodybuilding, and because bodybuilding and all that's been around for fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
But there wouldn't be so much stress on people to like work out as hard as I can or try to do something to be known. It's like, just be yourself, work out. If you can't work out, don't work out. Don't hurt yourself to be Instagram famous. You know, you gotta listen to your body.
Yeah. Larry Wheels. You heard that?
Dude, he's all over the place, man.
Oh, yes.
He is. He could have been, he's a strong motherfucker, but he could have broken so many records in powerlifting.
You know, and that's what, you know, this is all the same topic, really, but, like, you know, some people got so bent when he was like, I'm going to try strongman, you know? And, you know, one, it's like, you know, it's his life, you know?
Yeah.
Two, it's, you know, I get where they're coming from, but like, what does it really matter? You know, like, yeah. it's, you know, if he wants to do it, let him do it, you know?
And that's what blows my mind. People are so, people on Instagram or on anything, they're so caught up in other people's lives mm-hmm. that they don't even look at themselves. You know, they're yeah. so worried about like, oh, why are you doing that? You know, that's stupid as fuck.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. You're
like,
right.
It's like, don't worry about other people. Don't. It's pointless to worry about what another individual is doing, where they are in life, or what they're doing. You know, focus on you and be the person you want to be. You know, don't, you know, you can't idolize someone. You know, you want to be your own idol. You want to be your own role model. You know, it's great mm-hmm. to have role models and to strive to be like them. But you can't be so consumed that, like, if they switch competitions, you can't be so butthurt about that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because it literally makes no impact on you whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, like, what did he do? Is he making you cry at night or what?
Yeah. And if he is.
That Larry Wheels.
Oh, yeah. He's making me cry.
If Larry Wheels makes you cry, then, you know, something's going on. You yeah. know?
That's not right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, that and just people so obsessed with, you know, getting stronger too quickly. Like, no one wants to, like, taper off and, like, take the time off there or the off seasons. Cause I see so many lifters, like, that will, you know, and I mean, if you've done this, you know, then I'm not talking shit or nothing, but, like, if you hit a meet and then, like, it's a couple days later, you're training again, you know, like, that blows my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's the difference between what you're taking and how much you're taking of it mm-hmm. in some cases, but it's amazes me. It's like, you have to, people don't understand that this is a process, man. It does not, the strength and the size and the endurance doesn't happen overnight, dude. I've been doing this for fucking 10, 11 years. And I've made so many ups and downs, and yeah, if I stuck to it, if I stayed consistent mm-hmm. and not took any breaks, I'd be so much stronger than what I am now. But mm-hmm. I took those breaks. I needed to, you know, whether it was health, whether it was life, you have to understand that their life is of one big variable and you can't control everything.
Yeah.
And people try to get as strong as they can, as fast as they can. So they either do something stupid and try something stupid and destroy their body even more, or they do too much of an exercise and end up popping a shoulder or popping a bicep or, you know, popping a quad. You know, if you're not, you know, it's it blows my mind, you know, especially the younger kids. They get into it and they're like, oh man, I need to do something. I need to do some stuff so I can get stronger. It's like, dude, let your body mature. Mm-hmm. Build that muscle maturity, that foundation. And then if you want to down the road, do it smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and that's another thing is doing it smart, doing it the right way. You know, my coach, you know, he's partaker, right? And
vitamins.
Yeah, and you know, we've gotten a deep conversation about it before, and he said, you know, he's like, it needs to be something you think about for like years, you know, before you start, because, you know, once you do it, it's a life changing thing, you know, your body will never be the same, you know.
Yeah, dude, and I can testament to that, and that's why I wanted to wait. You know, you have mm-hmm. to wait. You have to, you know, I hit the level of like, I hit my natural ceiling, and mm-hmm. some people have higher natural ceilings than most. You know, for mm-hmm. me, I'm already prone to being fucked up with Crohn's, so I didn't really have much of a ceiling.
Yeah,
but I wanted to see what my body could do. You know, this is my passion. This is what I do. So it was like, you know what? I'll dabble into it and mm-hmm. see what happens. And, you know, it has its highs and lows, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it smart, you'll be okay. You know,
yeah,
less
definitely.
Is more. Less is more by mm-hmm. far. You know, some people will go out and do a shit ton and then their muscles are stronger than their tendons, and then they fuck up their fucking knees or their joints or their muscles tear because of that.
Yeah.
So you have to have a deep conversation with yourself. You have to have a Dr. Phil conversation with yourself.
Yeah. Is this going to be all right?
Yeah, is this going to be healthy for myself?
Oh, man. But, yeah. Yeah, so, all right, you know, we kind of derailed a little bit, but, like, well, not really.
Not it's really.
All about lifting, yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, so we'll come back a little bit. You're on an off break. Off break. Yeah, you're taking a couple time off.
A couple of weeks off, just to, you know, let the body try to heal. Let that prednisone kick in. Mm-hmm. Try to reduce the inflammation.
So you know, you were talking about your dad and stuff. Like, what does your family and stuff think about the lifting and everything?
Oh, they love it. I mean, yeah. My mom has never missed a single meet of mine.
Really?
Yeah, or even any of my physique or bodybuilding stuff. So she's always awesome. been there every single time, no matter when it was, where it was, travel, no travel. So I definitely couldn't have asked for a more supportive mom. My dad he's been there. He's a little, hey, you got to be careful. Hey. I know working out is great and you love it, but take it easy.
isn't that crazy? Cause you know, like, you know, all right. So just super quick, you know, my stepdad was the one that got me into lifting, and, you know, so my mom like has a better understanding of it, but you know, my dad, you know, I know he's going to be listening to this, but you know, love you, dad.
Shout out Larry.
At my meet, you know, he was like, have you lifted this weight before? And I was like, no. And he said, well, why are you doing it? And I was like, because that's the whole point, you know?
Yeah, it's lift heavy shit.
Yeah, and he's like, well, next time, you know, let's stick with weights you've done before. And I said, then there's no point, you know?
Yeah, that's not fun. There's no adrenaline. Yeah.
But, you know, and that's, you know, my dad, that shit was hilarious. I mean, you know, but he's, you know, 100% supportive. It's just on that side of caution, you know, so.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. Even my mom's still like, you got to be careful because, you know, mm-hmm. you just got to be careful just in general. Yeah. But my dad he's always hilarious because he's always like, you know, you got to think long-term, longevity, be careful.
Yeah. Isn't like, that funny,
Dad.
Though?
I know, Dad. Don't worry.
Isn't that funny, though? Because, you know, moms are always painted out to be the worry warts and stuff, you know, and the dads are supposed to be like the, yeah, hell, whatever, you know. And
I know, for real. Yeah. It's like, I tell mom, like, hey, I'm going to go for this weight. She's like, great, do it. Like, oh, my God. Dad's just like, that's a lot of weight, son.
Yeah. So, have you done it before? Oh, shit.
It's like, you look good, but, you know, you want to be healthy.
Yeah. Man. All right,
I wanted to ask you, I was looking on you, so I was looking on your Instagram page, and I see are you sponsored by, like, Iron Rebel, or, like, what is, for people that don't know, like, what is Iron Rebel?
Iron Rebel is a whole bunch of powerlifting equipment and powerlifting apparel. For me, it's not sponsorship. I'm just one of their brand ambassadors.
But
I've been with them for quite a while. And, you know, for me, it's like, it's another thing of like being part of a family. You know, I had the opportunity to work a booth with Adam up in Buffalo. It was the Buffalo Eat Right Expo, you mm-hmm. know, for mm-hmm. Iron Rebel. And it was like, you know, for me to get that opportunity with them was great. You know, so I'm always, you know, backing them for, you know, what they do for the powerlifting community and, you know, what they've done for me in terms of like being able to go to meets and represent them or just the equipment that I've used for them, you know, so it's definitely a brand to check out.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, looking at Iron Rebel, they got a lot of cool stuff. I like their apparel. So,
yeah. I mean, for me, I've got all the shirts I have. Like when I don't have work shirts, I just wear their stuff at the gym.
Yeah. So you got it. You got anything else, Manuel?
Yeah, I was watching one of your videos when you were deadlifting, and I think like it, like your, it went like something you commented went along like, you went night night, and
oh yeah, almost passing out.
Yeah, and like I saw like when I was watching you in the back, like the dude in the background, he's like, what the fuck? Because yeah. Like you when you let you know when you put the bar down, you know you yelled fuck out loud. But and then the dude's like, "What the fuck?" Oh, yeah. Like he was like, you know, he had like that kind of look.
When I went straight down to the ground on my knees.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, I don't know that, and that was the point of like recognizing that I needed to take a step back. Mm-hmm. You know, those were like 2 weeks in a row of like deadlifting, and almost passing out. And then the following week, I tried to do it again. I tried to work out. And I couldn't. So I was like, all right, I got to take a step back, let my body heal, because I'm not trying to have an incident like that of like doing a set and then passing out and like busting my head open or,
yeah, you
know, trying to brace my fall and end up breaking my wrist or something. So
yeah, I mean, from the looks of it, it looks kind of like most of the time you train by yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, you never really have someone there to like catch you and stuff. And
yeah, I'm not trying to risk it as much as mm-hmm. I love doing it. You know, you gotta take a step back. But yeah. It was pretty. I've never had an experience like that, so it was kind of funny.
it's a weird feeling. There's been one time like this was like a pre meet prep for me. Where last year I did the same thing. It was like a high volume set of deadlifts, and they were moderately heavy for me at the time. And I remember setting it down, like walking off, and for whatever dumbass reason, I remember I held my breath during that whole set, you know? And like, so I'm walking off, and then like as soon as I took a breath and my foot hit the ground, everything just started doing that shit. And I was like,
motion, right?
Yeah. And I was like, oh fuck, you know, I got to grab something quick. And I don't know. I just put my hands out and grabbed something and just kind of leaned there until I got my bearings back. But,
dude, I know, man. Like that was the second time when I fell on my knees, I had nothing to brace. And I'm just like, I'm falling.
Damn.
So definitely not fun. Then I went into a little bit of a Parkinson syndrome status, shaking.
I bet, you know, that losing control of your body like that, and you're just falling. I mean, that's kind of scary, man. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
once you kind of like realize, like, damn, dude, I could have like straight hurt myself. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can't. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. You can't control that, unfortunately.
But, you know, talking about your Instagram, you know, a lot of your captions are very motivating, you know. I mean, you just don't slap something on, yes, you know. So, like, where does a lot of that, you know, inspiration for your captions come from?
I mean, myself, you know, like, I've been through a lot, and I try to tell people, or try to tell, you know, people that follow me, or just people that I encounter, you know, it's hard at times, but you can't give up, man. You gotta power through it, and you can't, there's more to life than being sick or being injured or being down, you know, because everybody's going to have that. Everybody, mm-hmm. There's always going to be a down moment in your life, no matter how good it is. But if you can, you know, tell yourself that you're better than that, or better than a down moment, then you can accomplish anything. And, you know, where I was before I started working out was not the greatest spot. Mm-hmm. You know, if I didn't start working out, I wouldn't be here. You know, flat out, I would not be here. And you just gotta power through it, man. You really do.
You got to find your motivation, you know, yeah. Whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, anybody, like, it's, you can be whatever your outlet is, whatever your hobby is, do it to the fullest extent. You know, if you're passionate about something, fucking do it. Don't worry about what everybody says or if anybody says, you know, it's not their life. It's your life. Mm-hmm. You're living it. Live your fucking life.
YOLO.
Yeah. For real, man. People are so wrapped up on trying to be somebody they're not. And it's like, mm-hmm. who gives a fuck? Don't worry about what the next person is doing. Worry about you. Worry about what you want to do, what makes you happy, what your passion is, and follow that. Yeah. Don't follow somebody else. Follow your footsteps. Make your own fucking footsteps. You know, everybody's trying to be somebody else. And it's sad because you don't want to do that. Because then you're going to end up unhappy. You know, 20, 30 years down the road, you're like, man, I really should have fucking done what I told myself that I was going to do 20 years ago. You know, I mean, yeah. For me, it's like this whole year has been me just trying to like self-improvement. You know, for the longest time, I was talking about getting a tattoo. Longest fucking time.
So you don't have one? Or
no, I finally have one.
Oh, okay.
Because I was tired of telling myself that I was going to do something and not do it. You know, I told myself, oh, I want to get a tattoo, you know, this and that. And I never did. And I finally, beginning of the year, you know, I was like, fuck it. You know what? I want one. I went in, made a deposit, and then from there, I got it. And I want more. It's just a matter of time, you know? But it felt good to, like, you have to stand up to yourself and stand up to your mind, because your mind has so much power over you that you're going to talk yourself out of something no matter what. Mm-hmm. or you're going to listen to somebody else's opinion because they're like, oh, that's not a good idea. And I'm like, you just got to be like, who fucking cares?
Yeah, that's shit. You know, other people will influence you too much.
Yeah, dude, live your life. That's why I say it's like, you know, fuck other. I mean, look, an opinion is opinion. Great. If you want to give an opinion, that's awesome. But you can't always listen to other people. They're not living your life. They don't know your capabilities. They don't know what you want to do. They don't know what you've been through. You just live your life.
Mm-hmm. I dig it, man. I dig it. You know, I'm totally, totally inspired, bro. I mean, I really enjoyed talking to you. Before we kind of wrap this up, is there any kind of like lifter or something on the gram or whatever that you kind of like, you know, might be your favorite or something right now? Or
I love Travis. Travis Rogers, Popper Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him, I love him, dude. He's awesome. He's an awesome guy. I mean, what he's doing for the community and what he's doing for his kids are great. And it's every time I have an encounter with him, I love him. I mean, he's a really good guy. And I remember when I first came back last year, or not last year, I don't remember what year it was. It was either 2016, I did a meet in March or April. Mm-hmm. And we lifted together, and he went off to get fucking hella strong, and I took 2 years off. So but he's a solid dude, man, and I'm glad I can call him my friend. So definitely,
well, that's awesome, man. I've seen, you know, him and the stuff he's doing, and I think it's great. You know, because there's, you know, it shows you like the two paths that you can take, like in the kind of like what we were talking about with the Instagram, you know, clout lifting and stuff. You can go like, you know, shit for the clout, or you can like actually make an impact. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and try to help.
And I love it. I love what he's doing. I love the clothes and stuff. I wish I could say I had bought some. You know. Just for the simple fact of what he's doing, you know, like I wish I could say I bought him, but you know, life, you know.
And, oh, I know. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing. Everything nowadays is so fucking expensive.
Yeah, but you know, that's general. Yeah, but that's cool that you know you're friends with him, and I had thought that one of your deadlift videos was at his little, you know,
It was
home complex stuff. So
my girl and I went up there because I finally told myself. I ran into him when he was up at the Frederick meet, And I finally said, I was like, hey, we're coming up like next weekend or the weekend after. And he's like, all right. And it was him and Jess. And it was nice, man. It was, it's cool to have like that kind of like community of like, hey, come on, you know, come on.
Yeah. Definitely, man. Yeah, that's awesome. But Manuel, you got anything before we close this?
I just wanted to thank you for, you know, taking the time out of your day to come on here. We really appreciate it. You know, if down the road, if you'd like to do a second part, you know, that'd be cool with me. And if that's cool with you, we'd like to have you back on.
Yeah, of course, man. I really appreciate you guys letting me, come on and talk.
Yeah, man.
That's all life is about is good conversations.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's how you learn and progress and grow as a person yourself. You know, you got to talk to other people and just, you know, get different perspectives and, you know, more knowledge and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all about learning.
Yeah. You know, oh, man, there was something else I was going to say. But you know what? I can't remember it now, but we won't hold you any longer. I greatly appreciate you coming on, man. And
yes, sir. Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And I'll let you know as soon as I get this uploaded.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you.